What it is, yo? What's up? This is your host of Real Talk Sports, Deontay Smith, and we are back. It's been a minute, but we still here, back like we never left. And a lot has gone down since the last episode. Okay, first things first. Let's start with the big fish, LeBron James, taking his talents to LA. Now, believe it or not, on Facebook, I said this over a year ago, that I thought that he would go to LA. Now, I was a little worried once I saw that Kawhi wasn't going to be coming, once I saw Paul George was going to be re-signing in OKC, I was like, oh man, Philly is definitely going to be the front runner. But LeBron stayed true to himself and believes in himself, that he can rebuild a story franchise like the Lakers. And then following that, some dominoes fell. They signed Lance Stephenson, they signed JaVale McGee, they signed Rajon Rondo. I love Rondo because he's a playmaking point guard and he plays defense and he picks up the intensity when it comes to playoff time. So if they can get into playoffs, you get a completely different Rondo. Don't expect him to make shots because he's never been able to make shots. But that's not what he needs to do for that team. He just needs to be a leader. Show Lonzo how to become a true point guard. Then they signed JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee is an athletic defensive center. He's not the strongest defensively, but his athleticism allows him to be a disruptor on defense. Now, so that means they can funnel everything inside and he can be there to protect the rim. That's something LeBron has never had. Tristan Thompson was as close as he gets, and Tristan is still a below the rim type of defender. He wasn't too good in the pick and roll. I don't expect JaVale McGee to be great in the pick and roll, but his athleticism allows him to not be as skilled in some areas. Now, I do believe that the Lance Stephenson pickup was a strategic pickup because that's someone who has earned LeBron's respect just for giving him a hard time, always trolling him, as some would like to call it. And I do like Lance Stephenson in LA. He can make plays. He's a little unorthodox when it comes to getting to the rim. And a lot of that has to do with his New York background of playing street ball, because he's kind of guy you can just give the ball to, tell him get a bucket. Now I don't expect him to be a vital part of their offense. Most of the offense will run through LeBron and Ingram. I don't imagine them, since they renounced Julius Randle. I don't think Julius Randle will be back, so there will be no need to pacify him when it comes to offense as well. Now, I know maybe a week or two ago, I was tweeting and I was saying, follow me on Twitter, I barely tweet. I was tweeting and I was saying, man, Kawhi would be great in LA. He's going to be perfect. But now that I look at it, I'm saying, well, what would you have to give up to get Kawhi? You're giving up what LeBron would need for the next 3 to 4 years as far as having players around him that are growing, that aren't aging, because a lot of those kids are going to be hitting their prime right around the 23, 24, 25 years. So this is really a really tough decision for Magic. And I know a lot of LA fans want Kawhi, but I don't believe Kawhi would be best for their future. Now, boogie going to the Warriors. Dog, they do it again. Do it again. The rich get richer. Now, true enough, Boogie's only gonna play about 30, 35 games. He's gonna be back after the All-Star break. I'd be surprised if he's back before the end of December. He's targeting training camp, being cleared to participate in training camp, but getting cleared for 5-on-5 contact drills is a different animal. I just don't think he's going to be ready by then. But they do get a 25-10 guy. He's going to be... It's a scary lineup. If he starts, it's going to be a scary lineup. I do expect him to start just because of his skill, his level of skill, his ability to play the five. But you're going to have five guys out there that can knock down three-pointer. So it's really going to spread the floor. I really don't like the direction that the NBA is going with super teams all in the West. Now, I may be a little biased because I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, but I do think the imbalance is going to cause the NBA to have to reformat, reseed after the regular season's over, and do the 1 through 16. It's going to leave a lot of Western Conference teams out. It's going to stink, but that's the only way you can get a playoff season that people are going to actually, a postseason that people are going to actually watch. I don't imagine people saying, man, I can't wait to see this Bucks and Raptors conference or conference semifinal. This is not something that people are going to be finding that appealing. I mean, you have the Greek Freak. You got DeRozan and Lowry, but other than that, it's nothing appealing about the Eastern Conference. I'm getting tongue twisted, man. All right, let's move on to OKC re-signing Paul George. Now, they traded him for Oladipo and Sabonis last year, and I was like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out for him because Paul George was so adamant about being a Los Angeles Laker after his contract was up. But Sam Presti was like, we can bring him in and recruit him every single day and show him this is the culture that he wants to be a part of. We can re-sign him. And that's exactly what they did. Now, I was listening to Colin Cowherd. I listened to a lot of guys. And he said that Paul George is a small market guy. And after thinking about it, I was like, well, I guess it does make sense. He wasn't recruited by large schools in California, so he ended up going to Fresno State, which is a mid-major. After going to Fresno State, he gets drafted to Indiana, where he is in a small market. I want to say they're maybe the 7th smallest market. And then he goes to an even smaller market, being OKC. He's just a small market guy. While LA playing at home was very appealing to him, after taking a look and sitting down and thinking about his personality matching with the market that he's in, I think OKC is really where I think the 4-year deal is going to end up turning into like a 7-year deal when it's all said and done. Now let's see who was next. Oh gosh, Melo picked up the option. I know everybody saw that. Melo, dog. You need to just find a team and play your role. Know your role, Jabroni, as The Rock would say. You got to know your role. He's not, of all the guys taken in the class with him, he's probably the worst this late in his career. You got CP3, who is pretty solid. You got LeBron. And they're all the same class, but they're all buddies. So the banana boat guys, he's making LeBron-type money, Chris Paul-type money, but he's putting up Derrick Rose-type numbers, like present-day Derrick Rose-type numbers. He's not a spot-up shooter. He doesn't want to be a spot-up shooter. He'd much rather play iso ball, hero ball, and that is not the way that the NBA plays anymore. He was better off staying in New York in the triangle with Phil Jackson and Jeff Hornacek, but they are going to eventually buy out Melo, and Melo's likely going to sign with either LA, the Lakers, or the Miami Heat. And if you think about it, each of those teams have a member of the banana boat. I'm just saying. So now, I don't want him to go to Miami because he's going to ruin the young talent they have and like Tyler Johnson. But I can see them needing another player. And be quite honest, he could be a good player he can be a all-star level player in the East. He cannot in the West. Because the West is pretty, okay, he can't be an all-star player with OKC. The reason being is he's paying a lot of the four. Because you got Russ at the point, Roberson at the two, got Paul George at the three, You got Adams at the 5, so it only leaves Melo at the 4. And he's not really a guy that can defend well against other 4s in the Western Conference. So I do think he could be successful in the weaker conference. All right, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. My beloved Bulls, the Lovables, as the cheerleaders are called, or the dance team. So the only thing they've done this free agency period so far is match the offer that the Sacramento Kings made to Zach LaVine. This is news for nobody. Nobody really cares about it. So if you want to go ahead and skip the next, 2 minutes of this pod, go ahead and do it. But I believe the only reason we matched the Zach LaVine offer was because we traded for him a year ago, and we didn't want it to look like we gave Jimmy Butler up for nothing. Because if we had given him up, we would pretty much traded Chris Dunn for Jimmy Butler straight up, and that is not a fair trade by no means of imagination. Now, speaking of Jimmy Butler, he's very unhappy in Minnesota, which I'm kind of glad, because I want them to break up that squad in the West so he can come back East to a team like, hey, the Celtics. But I really believe Jimmy Butler will not re-sign with the Minnesota Timberwolves after next season. And you can very well see him in LA with the Lakers. Now, let me see what we want to touch on now. We got McGee. We talked about that. We talked about Rondo. Let's talk about possible guys for the next class for the Los Angeles Lakers, because they won't be signing anybody else. And the rest of this free agency class is really going to be a needle mover. But I would like to see, well, I'll just talk about a wish list of 3 guys that I want to see in a Los Angeles Lakers uniform next year, or see them go after next year. I'm going to have to say DeMarcus Cousins would be number 1. Klay Thompson would be number 2. And I'll have to say, why not KD? Go after KD next year. Alright. So I think I'm about to wrap it up. I would like to talk about some things that you should be on the lookout for in the next couple of days. Be on the lookout for Damian Lillard trade. I think it is a very realistic thing to see Damian Lillard traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. Who would they be giving up for him? Josh Hart for sure. I don't want to say they'll give up Kyle Kuzma or Lonzo Ball, because Lonzo's camp put out the torn meniscus news to scare people away. So I don't think they'll be giving him up. But if you think about it, the Damian Lillard being added to that backcourt is going to be a crowded backcourt. I guess you can move Lonzo to the 2 or the... Pretty much basketball is positionless nowadays. So you could definitely have Lonzo on the floor at the same time as 2 other ball-dominant guards. But I do believe they do make that trade sometime before the start of the season. I'm not going to say the next couple of days, because there's no way to tell if they are going to make it in the next couple of days. But that is something to look out for. Alright. So let's see what's the next thing to watch out for. Oh, Kawhi to the Celtics or to the 76ers. The doctor that gave Kawhi the second opinion, the opinion that he wanted to hear, is a doctor for the Philadelphia 76ers. Kawhi's uncle lives in New Jersey. Kyrie's family is from New Jersey. They're pretty close from what I'm reading. So you can definitely see a relationship between Kawhi and Kyrie. Now, who would the Celtics be willing to give up for Kawhi? That is a big, big question. I can see them giving up a lot of picks, but not a lot of players. And as always, guys, I leave it open for you all at the end. Give me a call in via Anchor. Give me a call in via voicemail. My voicemail is 769-242-1615 is the VM, so hit me up in my VM. go down the VM.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.